This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels that He was going to create a khalifa on earth, the angels asked, "Are you going to create on the earth those who will create mischief and spill blood while we exalt you and sanctify you?" What you may not have noticed is that what the angels are actually posing is what would be called the problem of evil. Why do bad things happen? Why is there murder, war, all sorts of violent crimes, theft, abuse? Why is there disease, pain? These are questions that are asked on university campuses and debates all over the world and have been asked for thousands of years. What people don't realize though is that this was a question that the angels preceded them in. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered them and answered everyone who would come and ask after them. He said, "Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun." I know what you do not know. A sheikh of mine was once talking to a Christian pastor who had read the translation of the Quran from cover to cover. And he asked him and he said, "What stood out to you the most about the Quran?" And he said, "How much God knows." So it should be no surprise then that this is the name after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that appears the most in the Quran. Al-Alim appears some 157 times. Think of some of the other names and how frequently they appear. Al-Latif 7 times, Al-Hay 5 times, Al-Razaq and Al-Samad all once. So when a name appears 157 times, this is an overwhelming mention throughout the Quran. So when we look at the knowledge of Allah versus the knowledge of creation, there's a lot of differences, right? The first is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not preceded by ignorance. And ours is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wallahu akhrajakum min butuni ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'a." Allah says, Allah is the one who brought you out of the wombs of your mothers, not knowing anything. We all started with no information. وَجَعْلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And He made for you the instruments of knowledge, right? He made for you your hearing and your vision and your intellect, that perhaps you would be grateful. Number two, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complete and nothing is hidden from Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. Allah says, to Him belongs the knowledge, the keys of the unseen. No one knows them except for Him. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And He knows what is in the land and He knows what is in the sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِن وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. And there's no leaf that falls except that He knows it. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. And no grain moves within the darkness of the earth. وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ. And there's nothing moist or dry, except that it's all recorded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is hidden from Him. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is not followed by forgetfulness. Our knowledge, after we learn something, we forget it afterwards. If you were to take an exam that you took in middle school right now, the same exact exam, you might have gotten 100 back in the day, but right now you might only get a 75 because that information you've forgotten over the years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قال لا يضل ربي ولا ينسى. My Lord is never in error, nor does my Lord ever forget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forget. And then in between the knowledge and the forgetfulness that we have, we also make mistakes. Our knowledge is incorrect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says لا يضل ربي ولا ينسى. My Lord is never ever wrong. He's never mistaken. He's never misguided. So what are some of the ways that we can interact with this name Al-Alim? Number one is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا in Surah Taha. And say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. And as you might have heard before, there's nothing in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to ask Him for more of, except for knowledge. You know, there's this question that I've heard many times over the years, presented by budding students of knowledge all over, which is, where's the best place to go study? Where is the best program? What's the best methodology? Who are the best scholars to study under? I think everyone who's been in the realm of studying Islam has either asked this question or witnessed it being asked again and again and again. And I've heard many different answers over the years, but I'll tell you the best answer that I've ever heard is the one that was given by Sheikh Muhammad Mukhtar Shanqiti, Hafizullah, may Allah preserve him. He said, take all of the programs, all of the books, all of the teachers, and put them all to the side. And make your concern that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for knowledge. And if Allah decrees for you to have knowledge, He will guide you to the best programs, the best books, the best teachers. The resources themselves are not what grant a person success in their endeavors of seeking knowledge. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for you to have knowledge, and about the resources, Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik is the son of the Umayyad Khalifa, Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan. And his father loved him very much, but he was very severely attached to him. And so he didn't send him out when he was a young boy, when he was very small. He didn't send him out into the desert to absorb the Arabic language natively from the Bedouins. And that was the custom of the Arabs, that they would send their kids into the desert so that they could absorb and become native speakers of the Arabic language by learning directly from the Bedouins so that their language wasn't broken by learning amongst the city folk. And his father loved him very much. So his father didn't actually send him to do that. And so he grew up speaking actually broken Arabic. And his father, Ibn Asakir, mentions that Ruh ibn Zinban, he comes to the Khalifa. Abd al-Malik says to him, "Who should I make the Khalifa after me?" And he says, "What do you mean? Amir al-Mu'mineen, al-Walid, your son al-Walid, of course." And Abd al-Malik says, Al-Walid doesn't speak Arabic correctly. Like, he doesn't speak Arabic well. His grammar is all over the place. And so Abd al-Malik tells Ruh, and he says to him, "Come back later in the evening when I have my majlis, when I have my court, when everybody's here, and ask me that same question." And so he does. And Al-Walid is there, and he hears his father say, "I can't make Al-Walid the Amir after me. Like, I can't make him the Khalifa after me. He doesn't speak Arabic well." So what do you think Al-Walid is going to do when he finds out that his lack of command over Arabic is going to be a reason for him to not become the Khalifa? Of course he's going to learn Arabic. He's going to learn Arabic in a weekend, right? So what he does is he gathers all of the scholars of grammar, rhetoric, literature, poetry, he gathers them all. And he does a 6-month intensive summit. Him, the prince, and all of these scholars. And after 6 months, he finally emerges, and they said he was even worse than before. After 6 months, he ended up being even worse than before. After all of that, all of this to show you what? That it's not about the resources. There are people, I'm sure, who you know, who graduated from the same university that you graduated, the same program that you graduated from, and you wouldn't trust the knowledge that they had. Knowledge is a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives people. And so you have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for knowledge. The second way that we interact with this name is to be humble. Sufyan al-Thawri said, knowledge is 3 handspans. The first handspan inspires arrogance. The second breeds humility. And in the third, you realize you know nothing. When a person first studies a topic, it's very easy for them to be convinced that that one argument that they learned is the truth. And then they become arrogant. They think that everybody else is upon innovation, or everybody else is wrong, or everybody else is, this is the correct position because I studied it. But then over time you learn that, you know what? The people who hold another position, it's not like they got it from Mars. They are following great scholars too. They have evidences as well. So then you become humbled. And then by the third handspan, you realize that even if you were to spend your entire life in learning, as the saying goes, if you give all of yourself to knowledge, it will only give you a part of itself. So the more you learn, the more humble you actually become. When Musa and Al-Khidr were on the boat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story of in Surah Al-Kahf, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us a detail that's reported by Al-Bukhari and others. And that is that while they were on the boat, a sparrow came and it just took from the sea that they were on. It just dipped its beak into the water, and then it flew off. And then Al-Khidr looked at Musa, and he said, "Oh Musa, my knowledge and your knowledge have not decreased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge, except as much as the sparrow has decreased the water of the sea with its beak." This is a very, very humbling statement made by a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given unique knowledge to one of the people who knew the most about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and one of the greatest messengers. Should we not then be humble with the little that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us? And so this name, Al-Alim, inspires us to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for knowledge and to be humble with the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And we ask Allah, in conclusion, to always increase us in knowledge that is beneficial for us.